D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025 The Game. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Trevor Maddich, the newly christened BYU Athletic Hall of Famer. First off, Trevor, congratulations on that honor.
I appreciate that, Adam. I tell you what, it's awesome and it's humbling at the same time because I had a lot of great teammates. And a lot of those guys deserve to be there, and hopefully they will be inducted at some point. But it's really humbling to be in and with the people that were inducted. I mean, one of the inductees this year was Jack Morris, baseball pitcher.
Wow.
Jack Morris
Tigers.
Is already in, and a couple others. He's already in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And it took him another 4 or 5 years to get into the BYU Athletic Hall of Fame.
Wow.
But he pitched 10 shutout innings to win Game 7 of the World Series. And he's like a four-time World Series champion. The guy's amazing. He was part of our class. So I'm just looking around going, wow, I'm very fortunate to be associated with this group of people.
Did I see, Trevor, that you flew from Provo to Bristol overnight to resume your duties as an ESPN analyst?
And boy, are my arms tired. Yeah.
That's dedication, my friend.
Yeah, the event was Friday night, and I jumped on a red-eye, flew to Newark, and then drove on up and did 12-hour day yesterday on Saturday. But the thing is, the inductees were introduced at halftime this past Saturday of the BYU-TCU game. And because I couldn't be there, my wife Dana was introduced for me. And I think the crowd was much happier seeing her than they would ever have been seeing me. So, I came back and went to work. You know, it's a blessing to have a job, and I appreciate it.
Well, we are so thrilled for you. Congratulations. Let's look ahead to the CFP rankings reveal tonight. And I'll ask you the same question I asked to Willie and Derek right before you came on. The biggest question I think I have when the rankings are revealed tonight is, how far does Alabama fall after losing at home to Oklahoma over the weekend? Where do you think the Crimson Tide fall tonight?
Well, AP has them at number 10. And I think that's probably about right, maybe even a little bit higher than that. I think they should be ahead of Notre Dame. AP has Notre Dame at number 9 right now. And the reason I think that is because of the teams that Alabama has beaten. And this is where they really are hanging their hat. Because when you look at other two-loss teams, the teams that Bama has beaten have been terrific. I mean, all in a row, all in a string, they beat Georgia in Athens, Vandy, Missouri, Tennessee, and then they beat South Carolina, which almost beat A&M this last week, and LSU before they lost to Oklahoma last week. And so when you look at those quality wins, I think that they're in a great position to be the highest-ranked two-loss non-champ. And so I think Bama is in great shape, and if they drop to number 10, that's fine. Number 9 or even number 8 I think is more appropriate. But ultimately, you've got to be in the top 10 the way this season is shaking out in order to make the playoff. In top 10 of the final ranking, because remember that the top 5 highest-ranked conference champions get an automatic berth, no matter where they're ranked. And so right now the group of 5 highest-ranked conference champion will probably be somewhere in the 20s. And the ACC right now, the highest-ranked team is Miami. They're at 15 last week, and Miami probably won't play for the conference championship. And so the conference champion for the ACC is likely to not be in the top 12 either in the final ranking. And so if you're 11 and 12 in the final ranking, thinking that you're doing good and you're safe and you're in the 12-team playoff, no, you might not be, because it looks like 2 teams are going to jump up ahead. And so Alabama has got to be in the top 10 in order to feel comfortable.
Now, Trevor, you know, there are several teams that are still, you know, in the hunt when you're talking about the SEC. The one team I'm looking at is Texas, and we've all talked about Texas for numerous weeks because we knew ultimately it was going to come down to the last 3 games with Texas. Because Texas is sort of this Vandy tie, because if Texas win-lose, do they get ahead of a 10-2 Vandy even though they beat them? But looking at how they lost against Georgia, is this week going to be critical for him where they're seated? Because they didn't just give – it wasn't a close game. Texas wasn't even in the same ballpark as Georgia this past weekend. But they got Arkansas left, and then obviously the big game is at Texas A&M. Can they still make it to the college football playoffs, even though they got beat by more than two touchdowns at Georgia?
They could, but it would be difficult. Yeah. And it's not necessarily, Derek, because of that loss to Georgia. You're right. They did not look good against Georgia. They were flat-out dominated. They had 23 yards rushing. 23 yards rushing. That means you were dominated, for goodness sake, especially on that side of the ball. And Texas has Arkansas and then Texas A&M to close out the season. And they've got to take care of business against Arkansas. And they've got to beat Texas A&M. And the more they beat them by, the better, in order to have a chance. Because as a three-loss team, right now, you look at their best wins, they are Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. And Oklahoma played their starting quarterback just a few weeks after having surgery on the thumb of his throwing hand, and he came back too early and had no velocity, and his turnovers are how Texas won. So the committee will take that into account. It's not really the Georgia loss, I think, that could trip them up now. It's the Florida loss. Mm-hmm. Because they lost the opener, remember, by one score against Ohio State. The committee is not going to hate that loss. The committee won't like the loss to Georgia, but if those were their only two losses, I think Texas would be in prime position for an at-large bid. It is that loss at Florida that is probably going to sink them, unless they have a super dominant win over Texas A&M to close out the regular season and they get some help up above. So that Florida loss is the one that got away.
Now, would that Texas A&M loss, had they not been able to come back against South Carolina, how would that have affected the college football rankings, or it wouldn't have affected it at all because they're still a one-loss team?
Which team are you referring
Texas
to?
Texas A&M.
Oh, Texas A&M.
Yes.
Yeah, Texas A&M right now I think is flummoxing. And we'll learn a lot about the personality of the committee by what they do with A&M if they're an at-large team, where they rank them. A&M is still on track to win the SEC championship, mm-hmm. which would give them an automatic berth. But I think they're very safe from a standpoint of making it as an at-large win team, even if they lose to Texas, because that would be their only loss of the season. The problem with A&M, though, is that from a standpoint of where you seed them, is that they've been so weird, especially on defense. I mean, statistically, their defense, for example, is one of the best in the country at pressuring and sacking the quarterback, one of the worst in the country at interceptions. And they're not turning elite pressure into takeaways. Sometimes they are a brick wall against opposing offenses, and sometimes they'll give up a 60-yard touchdown, a 40-yard touchdown. It's like super weird. So I'm not sure exactly what the committee is going to think about that, but I think ultimately the committee will say that with a win over Notre Dame, non-conference, and going undefeated in their SEC schedule until they finally lost in the rivalry game against Texas, A&M's going to be in great shape to possibly get a bye, even if they don't win the SEC.
Trevor, that has my wheels turning, because this is something we would never have considered before. But if they're sitting there at 11-0, and all they've got to do is beat Samford to do that, like you said, they could lose, and it probably wouldn't even matter what the score is, and they're going to get into the playoffs. Would it be crazy someday for a team, I'm not saying Texas A&M would do it this year, especially in a rivalry game like that, but would it be crazy for a team to do what an NFL team commonly does in that situation where you don't have to win, rest guys?
You know, that's an interesting thought right there. I think we may see some of that, but I think that conference championships are still so vitally important to a program and to everybody associated with it, the fans, the boosters, everybody, the student body, that I don't think you'll see college programs resting players in anticipation of the playoffs if it might hurt them in terms of their conference championship possibilities. And so right now, A&M is the only team in the SEC that's undefeated. You've got three other teams that have one conference loss, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Alabama. And so if if A&M loses to Texas and picks up a conference loss, won't help Texas very much because Texas has two conference losses, so the tiebreaker doesn't come into play. But now there's going to be four teams with one conference loss if everybody else takes care of business and wins out, and you will have tiebreakers come into it, and A&M might not even play in the right. SEC championship game. They'll still be in the playoff, but the conference championship is just absolutely enormous, and Nick Saban has said in the past multiple times that it's actually harder to win an SEC championship than a national championship.
And that's another debate, is playing the extra game, the conference championship. But we know, like you said, you're weighing that with the prestige of winning a conference championship. I got another one for you, philosophical, Trevor, and this has to do maybe with the perspective of the plight of Vanderbilt. And again, they've got to win the two games before this even becomes relevant. But right now, they're looking at a situation where they could win the last two games, be 10-2 in the SEC, and be on the outside looking in just because of the depth of the league and the way everything is that could fall. But one of the knocks against them is, well, they beat some teams that were ranked at the time, but a lot of those teams have fallen out of the rankings or are lower in the rankings. I think Missouri might be a fringe top 25 now. But let's take the LSU game. How do you feel philosophically about beating a team that at the time, it's a huge game, it's a top 10 team, but they crumble afterwards? So what's the value of a win like that?
Well, the thing about Vandy is, like you said, William, it's an important consideration, is that the committee is going to look at who you lost to and how and where and who you beat and how and where. Nick Saban has been really preaching hard over the last several years that the committee has not taken into account enough the quality wins that you have. They're only looking at your losses. And that's where you get an Alabama team that's got two losses, but they've got tremendous quality wins, including over Vandy. And if you look at Vandy, you know, they lost to the two best teams they played, at Alabama, at Texas. Okay, so the committee won't hate that. But then the committee will say, who's your best win? Well, LSU was ranked at the time they played them 10th in the nation, according to the AP, but they've since fallen completely away. Missouri was 15th in the nation, but they've since fallen away. They've had some injuries, and the committee will take that into account as well. Those are the only two teams that were ranked at the time they played them, with the exception of the teams that they lost to, that they beat. And so now those losses, South Carolina,
way back at the beginning, of course, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's on the road, but we know what happened there to South Carolina since.
Yeah, South Carolina, you're right about that. South Carolina was 11th in the nation when they beat them there. But then the committee will look at, okay, so how did it turn out? How did it all turn out? Because the committee didn't have those teams ranked. This was before the committee's rankings came out. So the committee says, well, how about our rankings right now? And Missouri will be the only one that's likely to be in there. So the problem Vandy has is being in competition with other two-loss teams to get an at-large berth. They will have to compare not just quality losses, because Vandy probably has the two best losses of any of the two-loss teams, but also who did you beat? And so that's why the Kentucky game is important for Vandy to look dominant, but at Tennessee is also important. You know, last week Tennessee, I think, was ranked 23rd, something like that. They're likely to fall out of the committee's rankings if Vandy's able to beat them. But that still, I think, would be seen as a quality win. And that's critical for them. And then they need a little bit of help. You know, so Vandy's in good shape right now, but they're not in great shape because some of the teams that they've beaten have not taken care of their business.
Give us a quick thought on James Franklin to Virginia Tech. Do you think that's a good fit?
Yeah, I think it's a great fit. He was very good at making Penn State very good. But the problem is that Penn State then raised the standard to where you need to be elite. And if you're not Ohio State or Georgia or Nick Saban's Alabama, well, that's not good enough here, and bye-bye, you're gone. And he's shown, though, that he can build a program at Vandy and at Penn State. You know, great culture, great direction, great leadership. You'll be proud of the way they handle themselves. All that stuff is good. All that stuff would be a huge elevation for Virginia Tech the way they are now. And the lessons learned at Penn State, I think, will help him at Virginia Tech. And that is, that what really put a ceiling on his ability to make it an elite program was quarterback play and receivers. So let's just, you know, talk about quarterbacks. At times they've been good, sometimes very good at quarterback, but I can't think of when they've been elite at quarterback under James Franklin. And that has put a ceiling over what they were able to accomplish there, and ultimately led to, you know, people being frustrated with him enough that they fired him. Well, what's he going to do at Virginia Tech? He's going to go out and spend a whole big rip-roaring fortune to make sure that he gets the best quarterbacks he could possibly get in the transfer portal and pay him in NIL. And if he does that, he has everything else that any national championship coach has.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, once again, congratulations on your induction into the BYU Athletic Hall of Fame. Great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans coming up next. And I've had the song Ironic by Alanis Morissette stuck in my head. And I'll explain why as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next. But before we get there, I told you we have a giveaway. If you want a 4-pack of tickets to AEW Dynamite and Collision, that's 2 shows in 1, next Wednesday, November 26th at the Pinnacle Downtown, be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 4 will win a 4-pack of tickets to AEW Dynamite and Collision at the Pinnacle next Wednesday, November 26th. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.